This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
As you may have realized, I watch a lot of sports. That's why I like Prime Video. It has all my sports in one app, like the National Women's Soccer League, included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report Sports add-on, or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. Prime Video. It's all your favorite sports in one place. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See Amazon.com/Amazon Prime for details.
It is getting that time of the year. It's Miller time. You don't need a watch or a clock to tell you. It's Miller time. Weather gets a little bit warmer. All of a sudden, the beer gets a little colder.
It's beer cracking season.
Whoa, okay. I don't know if it says that on the calendar. Miller Lite, great taste, less filling, tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Patrick, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. And as always, please celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces. Fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer. Miller Lite.
You are listening to The Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern, or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com, or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. Or stream us live on the Peacock app. It's hour two on this Wednesday, Dan and the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show. Interesting night last night. I had two costumes. I was Harry Potter, and then I was an ogre, and ran out of candy, and I handed out pictures of me. Well, I told the kids I didn't have candy, so if they wanted to get a picture with me, they could. Welcome to the program. Hour two, Jason Garrett, former Cowboys head coach, now working for NBC Football Night in America, will stop by. Our good buddy Pat Forty from Sports Illustrated, covering college football. Yeah, had the initial college football rankings that came out last night, and surprise, surprise, Ohio State's the number one team in the country, but we're more interested in Michigan and what's happening with Jim Harbaugh. It's like, it's kind of vague, but it feels like it's vaguely serious, but social media is keeping this alive. And as I told you when this first started, the college football playoff committee does not care about Jim Harbaugh and the so-called Spygate. This will be about the Big Ten and the NCAA, not the college football playoffs. 877-3DP-SHOW, email address dp at danpatrick.com, Twitter handle at dpshow. Poll question for hour two before we bring in Jason Garrett. Seton?
Let me just hit hour one real quickly. Who had the best week so far? Right now it's tied between the 76ers and the 49ers at about 30%, followed closely at 24% by the Raiders.
Yeah, I don't know if they had a great week. And I don't know how good this job is. Let me start there with Jason Garrett, former Cowboys head coach. He's on Football Night in America, also an analyst for Notre Dame football. Good morning, Jason. How attractive is that Raiders job to you with that roster they have right now?
Well, Dan, there's only 32 of these jobs, so they're attractive. And, they're certainly going through a little bit of a challenging time. And anytime you have a regime and then you have a new regime and there's transition within that, it's more challenging because they're turning it over and they've made some of these decisions and now they haven't had a chance to finish. And now a new guy comes in and he wants to have a plan. So I think that's part of it. But I do think it's a good starting point to have a guy like Devontae Adams. You have a playmaker on the offensive side of the ball. You got Josh Jacobs. You got some weapons over there that you certainly can build around, I worked for Nick Saban for a couple of years and he used to always talk about relative to what. And so as a quarterback, you say, hey, we got Jimmy Garoppolo. And some people say, hey, he's not Josh Allen. He's not Joe Burrow, but relative to what? There are a lot of teams that would like to have Jimmy Garoppolo as their quarterback. And I think there are some pieces in place there. on the offensive side of the ball. And I think the guy who gets a chance to go in there, hopefully he gets a chance to have some impact on building the team the way he wants to build it. But there's some cornerstone pieces there that you like.
Yeah, and Max Crosby is also there. He almost fits that image of the old Raiders. But I wonder, Jimmy Garoppolo's not there for the long haul. Devontae Adams' contract is crazy after this year. Josh Jacobs, you have him for a little while. And they have the 7th pick in the draft. Like, is that something that would entice somebody who already has a good job, let's say in college, that they would want to coach the Raiders?
Yeah, if they have a desire to coach in the NFL, absolutely. And then the devil's in the details over how much say they have to build their kind of program. And I'm remiss in not mentioning Max Crosby. He's one of my favorite players in football. And, I think Dan Campbell is a good example up in Detroit of a guy who had an opportunity to go in there, and they're building the team the way he wants to build it. And so I think any job in the NFL, if you have the opportunity to do that, and you have a little time to do that, is attractive. And you build it in the image that you want. And Max Crosby being a cornerstone piece, I think would fit that bill for the Raiders. So, you dive in and you go. The obvious challenge is you're in the same division as the Chiefs and all of that. But, hell, there are 32 of them. And, it's a heck of an opportunity for somebody.
How involved is the coach at the trade deadline?
I think it depends on the building.
How involved were you?
Certainly involved in the discussions. I thought the communication that we had when we were at our best in Dallas was really good. Leading up to the draft, leading up to free agency, and then certainly throughout the trade deadline. We traded for Amari Cooper 1 year, and that wasn't right up against the trade deadline, but it was, we needed a player at that position. And we had extensive discussions about who that player was, and eventually he became available, and he made a huge difference on our team.
Have you ever said, I don't want to trade for that guy?
Certainly, yes. And you have healthy discussions. I don't want to sign that guy. I don't want to trade for that guy. I don't want to draft that guy. But, it's a collaborative effort. The personnel people in the really good organizations are really good at what they do. So it's the job of the head coach to constantly provide the vision for the football team. And then if you have good communication, you say, does this decision fit that vision? And the teams that are aligned that way on a consistent basis and acquiring players are the ones that play at the end of the year.
Talking to Jason Garrett, Football Night in America studio analyst, also an analyst for Notre Dame football. Help me understand what Dabo Swinney was railing against a caller on his radio show. I thought it was maybe a bigger picture where it's like the manager who tells the umpire, throw me out because I want my team to get fired up. You got Notre Dame coming to town, and it almost felt like, stop pressing me to be what I once was or whatever. But he also wants to fire up his team against Notre Dame. They're underdogs at home against Notre Dame.
Yeah, I think that's probably a pretty good take on it. He's been so good. If you look at what that program has done, I mean, he's been so good for such a long time. And not only winning games and going to the championship game and all of that, but, developing players. I love Dabo. I'm a huge fan. We had a chance to do the Notre Dame Clemson game last year, and just getting a more intimate glimpse of that program. I'm so impressed. And there's obvious frustration there when you have so much success for a long time and then they're not what they were this year. I'm sure he's feeling some of that, but I think people need to step back and see what he's done and not only the wins but the impact he's had. And there's a good story about Dabo. When you're a head coach in the NFL leading up to the draft, you call all your guys in college football and say, hey, tell me about your guys. And for years, conversations with Nick Saban or other guys, they've had so many players. And so you try to figure out the evaluation. I worked for Nick for 2 years. I understood how he talked about players. And he loves certain guys. It's one line. Just take the guy. You know, if he has trouble with guys, he kind of beats around the bush a little bit and says, hey, if you have a good structure in place, if you have a really good structure in place, this guy can be successful for you.
Who was the guy that he just said, just take him?
So many guys that, you know, Jonathan Allen. I remember Jonathan Allen. Just take the guy. He's going to play for, you know, and he's right. I mean, it was just such an easy evaluation. But, you know, when you talk to Dabo, you have to decipher the guys because every guy is great. Oh. Every guy is incredible. Yeah. Every guy, you know, and then you could figure out the system to say, okay, this guy's really better than this guy, and you work your way through it. But I bring that up to say that he's had such a positive impact on so many people, on football. He has such great enthusiasm. So to see him frustrated like this, I get it. I hope he gets his old spirit back because it's a really good thing for all of us.
If you ran the Jets, do you want Aaron Rodgers back this season?
To me, it's just simply a health issue.
Let's say he's healthy. He's cleared. Let's say there's two or three games left. Got a chance for the playoffs.
Absolutely.
Okay.
This guy's one of the greatest ones that ever walked, you know, and to give him a chance to play. Is he the same player that he was 10 years ago? I don't know about that, but he's one of the best players in football. And if you could get him back and he is truly healthy.
But you're risking next season.
What's that?
You're risking next season, aren't you?
Yeah. I mean, and to me, that's the question. You know, some guys get the competitive spirit going and say, I'm gonna beat the timeline. I got an ACL, but I'm going to come back in 8 months. I'm going to come back and I have a healthy respect for injuries and making sure that you give guys plenty of time. And that comes from experience of maybe allowing a guy to come back earlier than he should have. And because we're all competitive, we all want the guy out there, and he's showing it in practice. So I would be a little concerned about rushing this because just the nature of that injury. But if the question is he completely healthy?
Yeah.
Absolutely, you want him to play.
Yeah, but I'm trying to understand Deshaun Watson when he's medically cleared, and then they say that he didn't want to play. Like, how does that happen that you're medically cleared, but then he doesn't play?
Well, every injury situation is unique in and of itself. And as a head coach, it's one of the hardest things you have to manage. And you know, I think without speaking specifically about him, because I'm not in the conversations, when you have a little issue like that, you really got to get to the bottom of it and figure out the why of that. And it takes constant conversation. And, you know, some guys have a little bit of a track mentality in that they need everything to be perfect. Some guys are mutters. Hey, I'm fine. They tape it up, spit on it. Let's get going. I can go play. And so again, I'm not speaking specifically to Deshaun, but that's a spectrum that you get on and you say, okay, can he play without everything being perfect? You know? And so you got to work through those and they're challenging. They really are. Ultimately it's a collaborative effort. It's players input along with doctors and trainers. And as a head coach, you just try to manage as best you can.
All right, you need to make a choice here on your quarterback. Sunday night, Bengals, Bills. You're the head coach. You're starting with Josh Allen or Joe Burrow.
You always ask me these questions.
Yes, I do.
Belichick or Brady, all of this.
Who are you taking, Josh Allen, Joe Burrow?
Joe Burrow goes to San Francisco and doesn't throw an incomplete pass. He's phenomenal, and you're asking me this question. I love them both, obviously. Who doesn't? They're both great, and they're going to be great players for the next 10 years. They have chances to be Hall of Famers, all of that. I love Josh Allen. I don't like him. I love him. I love him. I love his competitive spirit. You know, someone once told me that it took 13 people to get secretaried in the gates before he won by 33 lengths. You know, Josh Allen reminds me of that. He reminds me of this incredible player that you just have to constantly make sure we get him in the gates and let him go.
He's running less, but is he running smarter?
Yeah, and to me, it's the secretariat analogy is not necessarily his running. It's just his you know, I'm going to go make the play. I'm going to put the city of Buffalo on my shoulders and I'm going to go do it. And experience tells me that over a 17 game season in the NFL, that doesn't work. So when they're at their best, it's collaborative. There's a piece of it. He's certainly the focal point. And so if he does that on a consistent basis and continues to learn how to do that and they build the team that way, I love him to death. His competitive spirit is rare for me, but the other guy's off the charts. I mean, Joe Cool is something else.
I think you answered it.
I did. By a nose, I'd take Josh Allen.
Okay. Back again to Secretariat, where you didn't have to worry about winning by a nose. Hey, great to talk to you. Have fun on Sunday. Bills, Bengals on NBC and Peacock. That'll start at 7 Eastern, Football Night in America. Thank you, Jace.
Thanks, Dan. Always enjoy it.
All right. You got to put him on the hot seat every time he comes on, right? You don't let him know what seat is going to be warm there. All right, 877-3DP-SHOW, email address, dp@danpatrick.com, Twitter handle @DPShow. Autograph calendars almost sold out, pre-order. You can go to danpatrick.com. Stat of the day brought to you by Panini America. Speaking of Josh Allen, here is Tom Brady giving advice to Josh Allen.
I think sometimes he gets used and he wants to run it because he knows he can gain yards. There's a lot of confidence in it. But the only problem is, from my standpoint, you're putting yourself in harm's way. And when you put yourself in harm's way, it doesn't take much for someone to land on you, you know, to set you back. And I would love to see Josh save those from very special moments and special occasions to run the ball rather than to run the ball 6 minutes into the game on a 2nd and 6, you know, and not that he shouldn't run, but when he does run, slide and make sure no one hits you, because I don't want to see him ever, you know, get hurt. And I want to see him out there playing every week because he's such a stud.
I don't know if you can change, though. It's like Cam Newton. When we watched him, we're like, man, when he's great, there's nobody like him. And then all of a sudden you start to take those hits. And eventually he's out of the league at an early age, 32, 33. Yeah, Paulie.
In 2022, Josh Allen attempted 8 rushes per game. This year he's down to 4.5 rushing attempts per game. That's down almost 50%. The hits are different, but he's never run for less than 6 times a game in his career. So this is by far the lowest of his career. But there's no sliding going on.
I think that he's second on the all-time list with rushing touchdowns for a quarterback. I think Cam has 75, and I think Josh has 45?
Josh has 43.
43.
And in, you know, not even half of a career.
Yeah. What if he ends up with 80 rushing touchdowns? By the way, Josh Allen did respond to Tom Brady, and he had this to say.
I'm not saying that he's wrong, but you could get hurt in the pocket just as much as you can outside the pocket. That's the only caveat that I have for that. You got to go win a football game, and sometimes it calls upon me doing something, putting my body on the line for my teammates because how much I do love my teammates and how much – you know, I see them working their tails off too. So I gotta give them everything that I have when I'm on the football field. And that's where the flip for me is so hard to turn off, is because I just care so much about winning football games that sometimes it does, you know, cost the risk to be a little bit higher than maybe even the reward.
Yeah, see, I can respect your toughness, but I have to respect your intelligence where you pick your spots there. And what Brady is saying, 2nd and 6 in the first quarter, okay, are you going to take on 2 defenders? 2nd and 6 in the fourth quarter, final 2 minutes, then I understand that. Because you can say, I want to play hard because my teammates are playing hard. They need you to be in the game. So you can't get hurt. If they get hurt, you can still survive. If you get hurt, it's over. And that's the difference here. All right, let me take a break. Should Ohio State be the #1 ranked team in the country? And is Michigan, Jim Harbaugh, really in trouble? We'll have that for you coming up next, Dan Patrick Show. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app. It is getting that time of the year. It's Miller time. You don't need a watch or a clock to tell you. It's Miller time. Weather gets a little bit warmer. All of a sudden, the beer gets a little colder.
It's beer cracking season.
Okay. I don't know if it says that on the calendar. It's a beer that strips away everything you don't need and holds on to what matters the most. It's a light beer that tastes like beer. That's why I reach for a Miller Lite. And it's less filling, only 96 calories. They've been doing this since 1975. They have perfected it. You know, that summer afternoon, we're coming into that time of the year, be like, oh, man.
Crack one?
Yes, or two. Don't look at your watch. Don't look at the clock. Don't look at the calendar. You know. Miller Lite, the great taste, less filling, tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Patrick, or you can pretty much find it anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories, fewer carbs than premium regular beer. Miller Lite.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise, set several generations after the last installment, in which apes are the dominant species. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike and embark on a journey that will redefine the planet. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and in theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
NBA fans, listen up. You got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is really simple. Select a player who will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for big cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using the promo code DPSHOW and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with the promo code DPSHOW, the crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date list of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
By the way, it's Big Ten Saturday night. It'll be Purdue and Michigan on NBC and Peacock. That's Peacock. Here comes Saturday night. First playoff rankings came out, and surprise, surprise, at least I think a lot of people were surprised. Ohio State at the top of the heap, and Georgia's in there, Michigan's in there. Pat Forty from Sports Illustrated joining us, the senior writer for Sports Illustrated. What's the committee telling us about those rankings?
Well, I think they did value Ohio State's big victories over Notre Dame and Penn State. But the other thing they're telling me, Dan, is that they basically just slotted everybody by how many losses you have. The top five are all undefeated. They're the undefeated ones in the Power Five conferences. The next eight are the 8 1-loss teams in Power Five conferences. And then you get to the 2-loss teams. So strength of schedule, as of now, is less important than how many times you've lost.
Give me the 1-loss team you think that has the best chance of being in the Final Four.
I think Oregon, because I like their chances to win a rematch with Washington or whoever they may face in the Pac-12 championship game. 3-point loss on the road, wild atmosphere, kind of gave the game away. They've looked great since then. They're going to play some real high-quality games here down the stretch. So I think their strength of schedule is going to be there. And if they get in with one loss to the clubhouse at 12-1, I think they can make the playoff.
What's the knock on Georgia? And maybe it's not a big knock. They are second in the country. But first half of the season, not formidable, consistently formidable?
I think two things. They didn't play very many good teams. You know, just not a good non-conference schedule. And then Kentucky was the only ranked team they played. They wiped the field with Kentucky, and now Kentucky doesn't look that good. So there's not that much on the resume yet. And then, yeah, they kind of sleptwalked through some of those games early. But now that the schedule is going to ramp up considerably, they're playing ranked teams the next 3 weeks in a row, Missouri, Mississippi, Tennessee. And then you're looking at an SEC championship game, probably against Alabama, maybe LSU. So their strength of schedule will be there. I think if they keep winning, they will pass Ohio State, but maybe not in the end after Ohio State plays Michigan. We'll see what happens there.
Give me the team that is undefeated that will be the first to have a loss of those undefeated.
I think keep an eye on Washington there. Good team, had a great season, but they've struggled of late in the schedule. Wow, these next 3 weeks, really tough. All playing ranked teams, two of the three on the road. And if they play those teams the way they played Arizona State and Stanford, they're going to lose at least once, if not twice, in that section.
What's Dabo Swinney saying in that rant that he had on his radio show, whether it's to the fan base, to his players, alumni?
You're lucky to have me is what he is saying. I don't think there's any doubt about that he feels that way. I think he's also, he may not say it out loud, but he wishes it was 1992, you know, where players didn't get paid and there wasn't this crazy transfer portal and yada, yada, yada. But that's the way it is. And he hasn't adapted well at all. That's what he's going to have to do. He's going to have to modernize his program, modernize his approach. But that was very much a, you need to appreciate me for what I've done. This is Clemson, and I won two national titles. Let's have a little respect.
Can Caleb Williams, how does he play himself back into the Heisman picture?
Well, he's got some good opportunities starting this week. I mean, him against Michael Penix is going to be a big-time game. And then they've got, you know, they've still got Oregon State on the schedule. I believe they got UCLA at the end there. He's got some high profile opportunities. They've got to win the games, and he's got to play great. And to win the games, you're going to have to make sure your defense is something other than horrible, which the number of points they've given on their last five games is the most in a five game stretch in USC history. It's that bad.
But I was wondering, the start of the season, I knew the defense wasn't going to be good. I didn't know they'd be this bad, but he was always going to have to stay in the game because they needed to score. Therefore, he was going to put up big numbers. I just didn't realize that they're an average team. They have a, you know, obviously a great quarterback, but the team seems average.
Yeah, I mean, defensively, they are not good. The offensive line, leaky, you know, running backs are just kind of pedestrian. They've got good receivers. And the other thing too, with I feel like watching Caleb that he's almost trying to make this spectacular play all the time instead of just making plays. Yeah. And, you know, we've all watched quarterbacks long enough. Tom Brady didn't make that many spectacular plays, but he made the right play all the time and they won all the time because of it.
We're talking to Pat Forte, the senior writer, Sports Illustrated, covering college football. Where are we with the Michigan story?
It's just the, you know, the daily gift. I mean, what's it going to be under the tree today? And we'll see. But the Central Michigan angle now is fascinating. The maybe probably Connor Stallions was on the sideline for the Central Michigan home or away opener at Michigan State. Jim McElwain, the Central Michigan coach, last night referred to him as the sign-stealing guy. They haven't admitted that he was there, but it's clear it was him.
But is he in disguise as well? It's like Bobby Valentine being in the dugout when he got thrown out of a game in disguise. So this guy, he's got a Central Michigan hat on, and does he have a mustache or glasses?
He's got a, you know, goatee, but he's wearing sunglasses. It was a night game. He's wearing sunglasses. He's got the Central Michigan coaching garb on. How did he know what they were going to wear? Where did he get the bench pass from? You can't tell me. I'm unconvinced that Central Michigan has no idea how this happened. Let's put it that way.
But how much trouble is Michigan and Jim Harbaugh in?
I don't think Jim Harbaugh is in trouble yet for this. He's in trouble for the other investigation.
Yeah.
But, you know, there hasn't been anything tying this to him as of yet. The question from an NCAA standpoint is you start piling up various level one violations and there's a strict liability rule now that he could get hit for, but that's next year. Like, if you want to go win the national title this year, it's going to be impossible for the NCAA to touch them. I don't think the Big Ten has a whole lot of interest in doing it. Michigan itself certainly doesn't have any interest in penalizing itself at this point. And I think that there's definitely efforts underway to paint this as just, wait, hey, we got a psychopath on the staff who was doing this stuff himself. And that may be the truth. I don't know, but we've got to find that out. But right now it's Connor Stallions on an island in disguise looking, you know, trying to do who knows what.
Yeah, but why would you do this? You want acknowledgement from Jim Harbaugh. You want to prove your worth to him. You're trying to be on the coaching staff. You want to be elevated. It doesn't make sense that somebody's going to go rogue, and they're probably going to paint him like he was a rogue employee. Well, he was given the information to somebody.
Yeah.
Right?
Absolutely. No, so like, that's my question. Did the rest of the Michigan staff have no curiosity at all about where Connor Steins was getting his sign-stealing information? Like, is it just, hey, good stuff, Connor, keep it coming? Or was it, hey, how are you doing this? Where are you getting this?
Yeah.
The other thing, he's pretty proud of himself. He used to be on social media and with his friends and everything, talking about what he was doing as far as, you know, work for Michigan and everything. Do we really think that he wasn't bragging? Like, hey, you know, around the building, look what I got. I mean, we don't have the proof of that, but human nature tells me that this guy was probably talking to somebody about, you're not going to believe the stuff I'm coming up with on Ohio State, on Penn State, on Michigan State.
Will this affect the quarterback, J.J. McCarthy's Heisman candidacy? Is he getting an unfair advantage?
Right. I don't think so. But, you know, I mean, the Heisman Trophy has been called like the Nobel Peace Prize of football, you know, where you everything has to be virtuous and lovely and wonderful. And there's a lot of stuff going on around Michigan right now. You know, we'll see how they play the rest of the way. But I don't anticipate that becoming a voter issue.
The last year, the current college playoff format, how's the regular season next year going to be affected?
It's going to be this season on rocket fuel. It's going to be fantastic. At this time, instead of having five unbeatens and, you know, 8 1-loss teams we're looking at, and really probably only like 3 1-loss teams, we're going to be looking at like 20, 25 teams that are going to still have a chance to get into the playoff. And so I think the excitement level for all the fans is going to be more widespread. There's going to be more speculation, more drama of, hey, you got to win this game to stay in playoff contention. Now, on the other side of it, the top teams will be able to lose a game. There's less at stake in individual games. You're going to be able to lose and still get into the playoff. But I think there's just going to be more excitement for more fan bases nationwide.
Yeah, I agree. I remember when this came out and there were some analysts said this is bad for college football. And I go, no, you got more teams, and the games in November are going to be meaningful. You know, that, and maybe in like your schedule. And how you treat that, if you have a loss, when you have a loss, if you have 2 losses, can you still get in? Could a 3-loss team get in? I think brings in more fan bases for a longer period of time. And, you know, maybe these bowl games actually mean something.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I mean, I think that there's just going to be a lot of fascination with how this thing unfolds. And yeah, fans are going to be, I think, eating up the, you know, the mock brackets and how they look, just like they do in college basketball. And so there's just more involvement, more at stake for more teams. And yeah, people are going to be sweating through all these games in November. Instead of, you know, just narrowing your focus to a small number, it's going to be a much wider number. And then when we get campus games in those first round of playoffs, I think it's going to be fantastic. The atmosphere is unbelievable.
Great to talk to you, Pat. Thanks for joining us.
My pleasure, Dan. Thank you.
Pat Forty, Sports Illustrated. Yeah, I think it's wonderful. I think the regular season, you know, I know a lot of people said, oh, the games aren't going to mean as much. I think there's going to be more games that mean more. Yes, Eden.
It's kind of like, to me, like I equate it to, who really cares about winning the pennant when you want to win the World Series?
Okay.
Right? Is winning the Big Ten now, is that a big deal? Or is it like, well, we can lose the Big Ten. Who cares about that? You want to win the national championship, right? But you want to get to the thing that, see, like what Pat was kind of talking about, right? He was just like, yeah, people are going to be eating up all the rankings and the mock drafts and all the mock stuff or whatever. Like, that's his business. It's going to be great for his business. It's great for our business. There's no doubt about that. But I don't know necessarily that.
But if you're a fan base and your team is, let's say, 22nd right now, how about Missouri? They're at Georgia this weekend. Now that, I mean, that's a really big game for them. They have to win that kind of game. If we had next year's format, then all of a sudden you're like, even if we lose to Georgia, hey, we're still in this. You know, go down to the 22nd ranked team. They still have a chance here. 23rd, you know, 24th, 25th ranked team. A couple of wins, you move up, now you're in the mix there. Yeah, Paulie.
Yeah, I've got the schedule this weekend and it bears that out. Oklahoma is 9, Oklahoma State's 22. They beat Oklahoma, that they're right back in the thick of things for a late playoff spot. You look at...
In next year's format.
Right, next year's format. Washington, USC. USC is not really playing for anything anymore. Next year, they'd be playing to get back in it. Oregon State is ranked 16. UCLA is ranked 19. All these games would matter. I think, what is the other game? A&M at Ole Miss.
Yeah,
Ole Miss is...
But you're trading some games that matter for that, but then discounting the ones that didn't matter. Those two losses don't matter now.
Well, USC, they do.
No, they don't. We just said that they're still right in it.
I don't know if they would be. They would get in the top 12. They still have to win the Pac-12.
Yeah, but they're still right in it.
Now
so those two
be,
losses didn't matter.
It would, because then they'd be in the Big Ten, and they wouldn't be playing in a conference championship. So next year at this time, if they had that record, Ohio State and Michigan are undefeated, so they wouldn't have a chance. This year they might, if we had 12 teams, but next year in a new conference, probably won't matter. All right, we'll get some phone calls here. Gary in Santa Maria. Hi, Gary.
Hey, how you doing, Dan? 5'11 and a Husky 230.
Husky.
Hey, I was going to say, when I lived in Michigan, too, the night before Halloween was called Devil's Night. And Fritzy was to the show yesterday what Garoppolo was to the game Monday night.
Wow.
It's a little harsh.
Yeah.
Accurate, but harsh.
Yeah. Well, you poo-pooed Halloween. Did you have a good night?
I did have a good night. We had a lot of kids coming over. It was actually a lot of fun.
Did you yell at anybody, any older kids?
I didn't yell at anybody, but it was a kid came walking into the house for some reason, and his older brother said, Billy, we don't just walk into people's houses. What are you doing? It was just a cute little moment. This little blonde kid, he must have been 6 years old, and I opened the door, and I was going to give them the candy. They stick their bags out trick-or-treat. He just came walking into the house, and he's looking around and looking up at the chandelier. It's really warm in here. And his brother, Billy, you don't just walk into people's houses like that. Just a cute little moment.
Okay.
Just wandering around the inside like my living room.
All right. But you did okay. Didn't yell at anybody.
Nope. Kit Kats, okay. Three Musketeers, Twixes, Milky Ways. Everybody was happy. And it was some cute costumes. It was great.
All right.
Yeah, I love
Paul.
The kids.
Yeah, Paul.
You should have taken the kid down, put him like a half Nelson and teach him you can't walk into strangers' houses.
I couldn't believe this kid just kind of waltzed in there. But it was funny that his older brother kind of at least knew enough to say you're not supposed to do that.
Let's take a break here. We'll get to more phone calls as well. Ian Rappaport will join us in the final hour of the show. We'll talk about the trade deadline. Also, Tom Brady's involvement in the Raiders. When is he going to be a part owner, and how involved is he going to be with the Raiders? We'll have that for you coming up as well. Back after this. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR, or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Hey, we're Covino and Rich, Fox Sports Radio, every day, 5 to 7 p.m. Eastern. But here's the thing, we never have enough time to get to everything we want to get to.
And that's why we have a brand new podcast called Overpromised. You see, we're having so much fun in our two-hour show, we never get to everything. Honestly, because this guy is overpromising things we never have time for. Yeah, you blubber lips.
Blaming me. Well, you know what? It's called Overpromise. You should be good at it because you've been overpromising women for years.
Well, it's a Covino and Rich after show, and we want you to be a part of it. We're going to be talking sports, of course, but we're also going to talk life and relationships. And if Rich and I are arguing about something or we didn't have enough time, it will continue on our after show called Overpromised.
Well, if you don't get enough Covino and Rich, make sure you check out Overpromised and also Uncensored, by the way, so maybe we'll go at it even a little harder. It's going to be the best after show podcast of all time.
There you go. Overpromising.
Perfect.
And remember, you could see it on YouTube, but definitely join us. Listen to Overpromised with Covino and Rich on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise, set several generations after the last installment, in which apes are the dominant species. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike and embark on a journey that will redefine the planet. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and in theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
We know that quality sleep is essential, and that's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs, so you can choose what's right for you and your partner whenever you want. Two beds in one, firmer or softer on each side, you decide. And it helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature as well, quiets their snoring, so you stay sleeping comfortably all night long. Sleep Number does everything. My Sleep Number setting is 75. Sleep Number smart beds learn how you sleep. They provide personalized insights to help you sleep better. You will never need another bed. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Well, it's halftime, and the scoreboard's not looking good. You're feeling low. You're not sure you can pull out the win. But that's when you dig deep. Lift your head up. You say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists. Take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
See, and that's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime, with tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do.
Yeah, you could play countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. That's new. I don't remember that from the old Monopoly game, but it sounds awesome. And you can charge players rent for your iconic properties. Great.
You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests and in tournaments to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. I'm in for sure.
So get out there, put on your game face, download Monopoly Go right now for free at the App Store or Google Play. Let's go.
Rappaport, NFL Network, NFL.com Insider, and you can see him Monday through Friday on the Insiders at 1 Eastern. Also, Dolphins Chiefs airs Sunday at 9:30 a.m. Eastern exclusively on NFL Network. Ian, thanks for joining us. What's the deal that didn't get done yesterday?
Hi, sorry about that. The deal that didn't get done yesterday.
Anything close that didn't get done or you thought that there was talk about?
I would say there's not a lot that got close that didn't get done. Because usually what happens is if a team is talking about it when you get to like Monday or Tuesday, usually those teams want to do a deal, right? I was a little surprised Hunter Renfrow didn't go to the Saints. I thought there was a chance that might happen. Now, once the Monday deadline at 4 p.m. came up of players' contracts to be adjusted pre-trade, once that happened, then a deal wasn't going to happen. But I think that was one that I thought, you know, I was maybe a little surprised that Denver or Minnesota didn't trade off any of their big pieces. But Denver won and kind of has like sneakily looked not bad the last couple weeks. And then the Vikings are at 500. So I understand why those deals didn't get done. But I mean, you know, it was another deadline of us talking about some really big names. And then sometimes some other big names are the ones that ended up getting dealt.
Help me understand what Mark Davis and why he decided to make this move with his coaching staff.
Yeah, I mean, the coaching staff, I can sort of understand. Josh McDaniels fired last night around 9:45. Actually, I think 10:45 Eastern, around 7:45 local time, then the news announced by the team, 1 a.m. Eastern time. You know, the product was really bad. I mean, for a team that's like kind of talented, the product on the field was really bad. Jimmy Garoppolo played bad. The offense has been bad. I'm using the word bad a lot because it's bad. And I think that for the coaching staff makes sense. So what went into Mark Davis's decision is he's been having meetings over the course of the last week or so, dinners, meetings, et cetera, with some of the key team leaders, Davante Adams, Josh Jacobs, et cetera, and kind of getting an understanding of like the culture of the locker room, helping him inform his decision that ended up, you know, leading Josh McDaniels to get fired. I was a little more surprised that the general manager, Dave Ziegler, got fired. That to me was a little surprising because usually GMs at least get to pick their A head coach. These guys kind of came in together. But, you know, this was the decision that was made, and that's, you know, what Mark Davis went with, which is a clean house and starting over.
But did that impede them maybe making any moves, that the fact that you don't have a coach or a GM?
No. Now, this all happened, the actual news happened after the deadline yesterday, right? But obviously for Mark Davis, he knew that something may be going on. I would say for about a week or so, those in the building were like, this is bad or something is not right. Okay. So like you knew something was happening, but it seemed to me that the reason they didn't trade, I guess Davante Adams would have been the big piece. Although people called about Josh Jacobs, they called about Max Crosby. The reason why is that Mark Davis likes the players. And basically his choice was, I want to keep these players and win with these players. We just need a better coach and I guess general manager to do it. That was kind of the decision that he went through, and that's why it wasn't a fire sale.
How attractive is this job?
It's a head coaching job in the NFL. There are not a lot of those. It is a roster that has some talent, has some young talent. Definitely need a quarterback. May need a quarterback. Aiden O'Connell is the rookie fourth rounder. He's going to start this week. He's pretty impressive, and there are some people that really, really, really like him. If he's the guy, if they find Kirk Cousins, whoever, then this is more attractive, right? But I would say, you know, it's attractive in that there's pieces. I think what you're asking is, does Mark Davis make it more unattractive, right? I mean, is that fair?
Yeah.
And I would say every owner wants to win very badly. Like, I understand. I think Mark Davis wanted to show more patience. But given with the product they showed on national TV, I understand why he did what he did with the coaching staff. Like, I don't think this is like a rash, non-thinking decision made by Mark Davis. I think it was a well-thought-out decision.
What's Brady's involvement with the Raiders?
If he has any involvement, and I have not heard that he does, then it is essentially as an informal, right? Because he's not an owner. He doesn't have a deal there. He's not able to sort of function on behalf of the team in any sense. Like, that, his ownership stake has not been approved, and it is not official, and it's not happening. I never was told by anyone I would trust that Mark Davis is leaning on him. I would be curious what he would have said for one of his favorite coaches being fired, but yeah. I never knew that Brady was consulted on this, and I'd never heard that his deal is done anyway.
Help me understand what's going on in Washington.
Yeah, that one is a little sort of easier to grasp. I think for Josh Harris, the new owner, I think what he has wanted was the ability to have some resources, right? Now, obviously, the Commanders had two guys they could have paid. They had Chase Young, they had Montez Sweat. In the end, they decided that instead of paying both, which was never really going to happen, one was probably going to leave in free agency, get what amounts to a compensatory pick now, okay, for Chase Young, that makes sense. And then the Montez Sweat deal was just too good to pass up. Because if you're the Commanders, it's not just do I want to keep Montez Sweat, it's do I want to keep him plus $25 million or whatever it ends up being. So I have no idea whether or not Washington is going to need a quarterback for the future, but I know it's possible. And so basically what they did was say, we are going to say goodbye to two edges who we really like, but who are going to be very expensive. And we're going to get more picks in case we need to use them to go find a quarterback. And the fact that we have to start over from the ground up is okay. And obviously it calls into question, like, are there going to be some other people who are going to be starting over? Coaching staff, personnel, like, there's a lot of questions. And I think all those were already there, but it just kind of heightens those questions.
Ian Rappaport, NFL Network Insider. What are the Bears doing?
So, of all the things, this was the one, the Montez Sweat deal was the one that I think was the biggest curiosity. My personal opinion, which matters literally zero, with all due respect to myself, I kind of liked it because what it was you put a little deposit in, a second round pick, and you get a great free agent for the future who you will now pay, right? We've seen people do it in the past. Dave Gettleman did it for Leonard Williams. Everybody lost their mind. Turned out to be a great deal. He was a Pro Bowler for the Giants. That's what the Bears are hoping for. You pay a little bit now, you get Montez Sweat, who might not have signed there in free agency. No, would not have signed there in free agency. And you pay him, and you just add to a really good roster. It is not for everyone. Some people would rather just take your chance in free agency and have the second rounder. But you know what you are getting. You know that Montez Sweat is a good player. That's why, to me, that pick seems worth it.
If the Niners didn't lose three in a row, would they have traded for Chase Young?
The way they lost it, I would say that definitely contributed. You know what I mean? Like, the defense really struggling, not having the front end together with the back end and kind of giving up a bunch of points. Now, Joe Burrow's awesome, so, like, awesome. But some of the other losses, not as much, definitely contributed. And I think for the 49ers, like, this is what the trade deadline is for. Right? You have a team that's really good, who struggled a little bit, who's like, you know what? Instead of being all good, we need one. We need a little infusion of juice. Remember a couple years ago, the 49ers traded for Emmanuel Sanders, and he kind of like gave them that juice for the second half of the season. Like, I could kind of see Chase Young being that. Like, it's not like, okay, well, now they have an edge presence opposite Nick Bosa. They're good. It's not like that. It's just sometimes new energy and new talent helps everyone. I think that's what they're hoping for.
What's Arizona doing?
They're waiting for Kyler. So the Josh Dobbs deal made sense because he was probably going to be the backup. So you get a little pick for him, lets him go start. Totally fine. I think they want a look at their young quarterback, which they're going to get, Clayton Tune. And that's cool. And you're going to see him this week. And then Kyler either plays a little bit this week, possible, or doesn't, and just waits till next week. And at least Arizona gets a look at, do we have a backup quarterback for the future or not? The other thing is, Kyler's been practicing for, it'll be 3 weeks, and then it'll be 4 weeks before his start. So that's training camp. I think the most important thing for them is Kyler at 100% when he plays? And I think that's where he's going to be next week, assuming he starts.
Good to talk to you, as always. Know you're busy. Thanks for spending some time.
Absolutely, man. Take care.
That's Ian Rappaport, NFL Network, NFL.com, National Insider. And you can see the Chiefs and the Dolphins. Keep this in mind. Write it down, because that's 9:30 a.m. Eastern on Sunday from Frankfurt, Germany. James in Virginia joins us. Hi, James.
Oh, thank you for taking my call, brother. Happy Wednesday, DP, Dan Matt. Salute the Commanders, man. Oh, man, sell. It's just a fire sale in Washington, man. But I got to say, I can't be mad about it. Montez Sweat disappears sometimes in games, and they got a second rounder for him. Chase Young, man, he's like a maverick, man. He's a beast on the field, but he does his own thing. So, I mean, they weren't going to re-sign him because they didn't pick up the fifth-year option. I think the hardest thing about the Chase Young deal is the year they drafted Chase Young, they passed on Tua and Herbert. Yeah, they had Dwayne Haskins in the building, but Herbert and Tua are just A-plus quarterbacks. Speaking of the quarterback, I don't think that they should go after a dumpster dive veteran. I think they either got to stick with Sam Howell, because this guy can make the throws if they can protect him, or go for a rookie, if, like Rappaport was saying, trade up, maybe get some picks. But I do think if they are going to get rid of the coaching staff, I think that's apparent. The enemy should stay if they keep Howell, because the thing with Howell is, if you bring in another coordinator, that's three systems in 3 years, and that's a death sentence for quarterbacks, man. So, oh, man, I can't wait to see what happens. There's still 9 games left in the season. So, you know, I'm riding burgundy and gold, and I'll finish with this. It's not a lightning bolt that you had. It's a scar in the form of a lightning bolt for Harry Potter. I definitely say watch the movies, man. Love Harry Potter. Y'all have a great
Thank
day.
Thank you, James. Thank you, James. Doesn't surprise me that he loves Harry Potter.
So much energy. I love that guy.
Oh, he's always glass half full. Yeah, you know? Looking at the positives of the Commanders. Yes, Marvin.
We got 10 games left.
Yeah.
That's 10 games to lose, possibly.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
With the new Dexcom G7, you can achieve better diabetes results without painful fingersticks. It sends your glucose numbers to your compatible phone or watch so you can always see where you are and where you're heading. See how food and exercise affects your glucose, making it easier to spend more time in range and lower your A1C. Take more control of your diabetes with the number one recommended CGM brand. It's easy to get started today at Dexcom.com. That's Dexcom.com.
Dexcom data on file 2023. If your glucose alerts and readings from the G7 do not match symptoms or expectations, use a blood glucose meter to make diabetes treatment decisions. For a list of compatible devices, visit Dexcom.com/compatibility.
Well, it's halftime, and the scoreboard's not looking good. You're feeling low. You're not sure you can pull out the win. But that's when you dig deep. Lift your head up. You say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists. Take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
See, and that's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime, with tons of new twists including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do.
Yeah, you could play countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. That's new. I don't remember that from the old Monopoly game, but it sounds awesome. And you can charge players rent for your iconic properties. Great.
You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests and in tournaments to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. I'm in for sure.
So get out there, put on your game face, download Monopoly Go right now for free at the App Store or Google Play. Let's go.